I seek his help, like one who sincerely expects his mercy and kindness, hopes for his benevolence and bounties, has faith in his protection and refuge, and faithfully obeys him in thoughts, words, and deeds. I have true faith in him, an honest hope in his benevolence, and a genuine belief in his omnipotence and omnipresence. I pray to him with such humility and humbleness as his greatness and glory demand. I sincerely believe that there is no God but Allah. I try my best to seek his protection and shelter. He is one Allah. He has no father to share his greatness and glory, and no children to inherit his mighty domain, if he ever could cease to exist. He was before time and space came into existence. No enhancement or loss in his power and might can take place. On the contrary, the well-designed and well-controlled system of nature organized by him is so beautifully arranged and so marvelously marshaled that its very existence gives clear and rational indication of his supreme knowledge, power, and might. Take, for example, the creation of all the various galaxies which exist without any support or prop. He ordered them to be, and they spontaneously came into existence. If they had not accepted his lordship, and if they had not immediately obeyed his commands, he would have not granted them room in his space, would not have made them the habitats of his angels, and would not have destined them as places to exhibit his glory and as havens of blessings towards those who sincerely and faithfully obey him. In fact, they would not have come into existence, and it was not physically possible for them to disobey his commands. At his command, they came into being and took up the places assigned to them. He made the stars of the heavens clear and luminous signals and manifestations for those who want to understand the ways and means of how the universe and intervening spaces came into being. These very stars dispel the darkness of the space, which cannot stop their luminosities to radiate, nor can it put a check on the lights of moons and planets. Glory be to Allah, from whose knowledge are not hidden those parts of the space, which are cloaked in obscurity, nor the faces of planets when darkness extends over them, covering them fully. Depths of valleys or peaks of high and lofty mountains, nor the roar of thunder in clouds. This roar is homage to his glory, nor those things which lightning strikes and destroys, nor even all the leaves which fall from trees and are scattered away by the wind and rain from the places where they have fallen. He knows whence every drop of water is coming and where it will rest. He knows everything about the movements, dwelling and habitat of every single and that exists, about how much food a mosquito needs and whence it gets it, and whether a child in its mother's womb is a male or a female. His knowledge is all-prevailing and covers the minute details of the existence and requirements of every one of his creatures. All praise be to the Lord who existed even when there was no space or time, no galaxies or universe, no solar system or earth, planet that can bear and sustain life, and no man and no jinni. He is the Lord who is far above comprehension and understanding. Grant of bounties to those who crave for His benevolence does not keep Him away from other work, nor can such unlimited grants reduce His resources. No eyes can see Him, no space can bound Him within limits, and no parallel can be suggested for Him. He does not create anything with the help of anybody or any instrument, nor does He understand a thing with the help of senses. In fact, no one can understand Him on the basis of attributes, faculties, properties, and powers of His creatures. He is the Lord who spoke to Moses and exhibited to him one of His great marvels, but without the aid of any part of body or any instrument. O you who are trying your best to understand and describe Him, just try to realize whether it is possible for you to call up to your mind distinct mental pictures of the two angels, Jibrail and Mikhail, or the angels who in holy and divine places are constantly glorifying and worshipping Him. You cannot describe them, and they in their turn are unable to define and describe the grand Creator of universe. Remember that you can describe and define only such a thing as possesses body and occupies space, is endowed with attributes, properties, and faculties, and whose existence will come to an end sometime. Remember that there is no God but Allah who can brighten every dark corner of the space and can darken every bright spot. O people, I advise you to assume piety for the sake of all benevolent and merciful Allah, who taught you how to protect your body with the help of dress and coverings, and who opened up for you the ways and means of having control over things of this earth. If there was a man who had greater possibility of an immortal life and of escaping death, he was Solomon, the son of David. He was such a prophet that Allah had granted him full control over men as well as jinn. Besides the normal sway that he possessed over other terrestrial things more than other human beings. But when the span of life allotted to him came to an end, he had to face death like every other mortal. His favorite city and his mighty empire was inherited by others. Verily, the history of man holds lessons and warnings for you. Where are the Amalekites and their descendants? Where are the pharaohs and their courts? Where are those powerful rulers who founded an empire in the country of Ras? They killed the prophets and the messengers of Allah, tried their worst to stamp out religion, and held unholy and tyrannical sway over men. Where are they, and where are the huge armies which they moved from land to land, defeating and conquering nations after nations, killing thousands upon thousands of human beings, and razing cities after cities to the ground, and then erecting new ones in their place? Following is supposed to be a part of the above sermon about Imam Mahdi, the Savior who will come to rule the world. He is the promised defender of mankind and benevolent ruler of the world state. He, Imam Mahdi, will be wearing the armor of wisdom, which he will have secured with all its conditions, such as full attention towards it, its complete knowledge and exclusive devotion to it. For him, it is like a thing which he had lost and which he was then seeking, or a need which he was trying to fulfill. If Islam is in trouble, he will feel forlorn like a traveler and like a tried camel beating the end of its tail and with its neck flattened on the ground. He is the last of Allah's proofs and one of the vicegerents of his prophets. O people, I have advised and instructed you in the same way as all the prophets have advised and instructed their followers. I have handed you all that was entrusted to me, just like all those who were entrusted with interpretations of Allah's will by the prophets. I have tried to teach you discipline in life, but you paid scant attention to my teachings. Then I tried my best to guide you towards Islamic ways of life, but you did not care to adopt them. May Allah help you. Are you expecting some other guide, Imam, to teach you divine ways and to lead you towards the divine path? Beware, you have given up the advantages of divine guidance, and pre-Islamic ideologies have again started haunting your minds. Pious persons from amongst you have decided to leave this world. They have abandoned the mortal and base pleasures of this life in return for perpetual blessings of the next. Can you point me out the harm that came to those of our brethren who embraced martyrdom on the battlefield of Siffin? They are not amongst us today, but their lot is happier than ours. Had they been alive today, they would have had to face the same disappointments, humiliations, sufferings and trials which we are encountering. I swear by Allah that theirs was a happy destiny. They are in front of their Lord. They have received divine rewards. And after a life of harassments, trials and dangers, they are at peace with themselves and with their heavenly surroundings. But we are sorry to lose them. We miss them and feel the loss of their presence. Oh, where are my brethren who led a pious life and died in aroma of sanctity? Oh, where is Ammar, son of Yasir? Where is Ibn Tayhan? Oh, where is Khuzaimah Zush-Shahadatain? Where are those other people who were with me once, who had promised to live and die for Islam, and who stood as the first line of defense against the attacks of wicked transgressors? Nawf, the narrator of this sermon, says that when Imam Ali repeated the name of these friends and followers, their memories saddened his heart. A film appeared in those eagle-bright eyes. It developed into tears, and they flowed on his white beard. And in front of thousands of people gathered there to hear him, he was not ashamed to weep for them and to mourn over their loss. The great soldier and the great orator could not continue his speech and wept like a bereaved woman, showing how tender was his heart and how dear and loving their memories. Then Imam Ali continued his sermon. How how sadly I feel the loss of those brothers of mine who read the Holy Quran and understood it, who pondered deeply over their obligations and performed their duties, who kept the traditions of the Holy Prophet alive and fought boldly against innovations when called upon to defend Islam, who came forward willingly having complete faith in their leader and the Imam, whom they followed faithfully. Then Imam Ali loudly proclaimed, "Jihad! Jihad! Jihad, O creatures of Allah! Learn and beware that today I am mobilizing an army of volunteers to defend Islam. Whoever wants to achieve divine rewards may step forward." Nawf says that more than 40,000 people gathered around Imam Ali. He divided them into divisions. The first division of 10,000 soldiers was given under the command of Imam Hussein. Another division of the same strength under Qais bin Ubadah. A third similar unit under Abu Ayyub Ansari, a companion of the Holy Prophet, and many smaller units under other junior officers. He was thus organizing a big force and had resolved to march towards Syria once again. The response to this call was marvelous. People in thousands were gathering under his banner when, within a week of the delivery of the above sermon, Imam Ali received the death blow from the sword of Ibn Muljim while he, the Imam, was offering his morning prayers in the Masjid of Kufa. This was the month of Ramadan. After this martyrdom, the army which had gathered around him disappeared, and our conditions became that of a herd of goats who had no shepherd and who were attacked by wolves on all sides. Sermon 188. As usual, Imam Ali starts this sermon with the praise of Allah and explains some of his attributes. Imam Ali tells us that Allah created the universe out of nothing, that for everything in nature He fixed properties, values, and dimensions, and also a span in time, each one of which depends upon the other for its existence, that He had not to exert Himself for this work, that He made this earth a habitat for human beings and sent prophets to teach them the correct ways of life. Imam Ali then explains what the Holy Quran is and what it intends to teach, how clear and precise are its teachings, what Allah has provided for man and what He expects of him, how He will reward the pious people, what kind of place they will be granted in paradise, and what kind of punishment awaits the sinners. Imam Ali informs us as to the real significance of Allah demanding man to perform his duties. The whole sermon is an advice to man to know his place in nature and to work for his salvation. All praise be to the Lord, who is recognized without being seen, and who has created the universe without any exertion. He shaped and fashioned His creatures out of nothing but merely by His power and might. He made great men of the world realize their significance and ineffectiveness before His might and glory, and their humbleness compared to his benevolence and magnificence. He is the Lord who made this earth a habitat for his creatures and sent his prophets amongst human beings and jinni to reveal secrets of life to them, to warn them of the consequences of evil thoughts and deeds, to cite examples of such consequences, to realize the effects of a vicious life, to warn them of its rapidly changing aspects from health to sickness, from wealth to poverty, and from greatness to humility, and to tell them how Allah will reward His obedient creatures and how He will punish the disobedient ones. I praise Allah as sincerely and assiduously as He expects His creatures to do.
He destined for everything in nature, values,
dimensions and properties, and for each value, dimension and property, He fixed a span of time. One is made dependent upon the other, as they cannot exist independent of each other. And each of these span of time
is predestined and fixed.
No one can bring about a change in any one of them. The Holy Quran enjoins you to do good and to abstain from evil, though apparently it is silent, being merely a book. But actually, with perfect clarity, brevity, and simpleness, it explains what it has to explain. It is the final word of Allah to His creatures. He has taken promise from you that you will act according to its tenets and has ordained you to follow its teachings carefully. He has completed the guidance through it and has finalized the code of Islam in it. He called back the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants to paradise only when he had fully explained the commands of Allah conveyed through this book, which, if followed, will bring eternal peace and salvation to mankind. You glorify and eulogize Allah with the attributes which He has announced and declared Himself, because He has not kept secret from you and phase of religion, but has guided you how to meditate on Him and how to worship Him. He has clearly indicated the ways which He approves and the ways which He does not. These indications are precise, explicit and simple, telling you what to do and what not to do. There shall never be any alteration in His commandments, nor any change in the standards of His approvals and displeasures. Remember, He will neither be pleased with you for doing things which He disapproved for the people gone before you, nor will He punish you for such of your thoughts and deeds as He has approved for others. It is enough for you if you follow the simple and clear ways laid down for you, and say and do things that good people before you have said and done. He has taken the responsibility of making nature take care of you and to provide for you all those things which are basically necessary for your well-being, and wants you to be thankful for these opportunities, to make honest and just use of them, and to lead a pious, honorable, and conscientious life, which He has fixed as the acme of your achievement and the sole purpose of your creation. Fear Allah, before whom you will have to account for your deeds, who has complete control over your existence
and who has predestined your place in nature.
If you try to hide something from him, he will know it and has witnesses to note and testify your thoughts and deeds. These witnesses will never note anything false, nor leave anything unnoted, and will never give false evidences. Remember that for those who fear Allah, He will find ways and means to keep them out of mischief and troubles, out of vices and impiety, and out of temptations and trials. He will guide them out of darkness to light. He will bestow upon them His bounties in this world as well as in paradise. He will grant them such an exalted place that it will be in the vicinity of His throne. It will be lighted with divine light and will have angels, prophets and saints as visitors and neighbors. Now be ready for that glorious and divine world. Make yourself deserving of it and be ready to face death happily and hopefully. For death shall overtake every one of you, and when it arrives, the door for repentance will be closed and opportunities for good deeds will be lost. Remember that still you are passing through a period towards which those who passed before you have wished to return to life. But your stay here is ephemeral. You are like a traveler. Be ready to depart from this abode, which is not your home, and where you are not going to stay eternally. He has clearly informed you that this life is a transitory phase, and that you must make provisions for the next world before you leave it. Remember that your tender bodies and soft skins cannot bear the fire and tortures of hell. Have mercy upon yourself. You have experienced hardships and calamities of this life. You must have realized how weak you are to face pain and anguish. A pinprick makes you howl, and mere sight of blood makes many of you faint, and contact with hot and burning sand makes you whimper and wail. Imagine the conditions of such men when they will be thrown into the fire of hell, having Satan as their sole companion and comforter. Can you imagine how the fire of hell flares up, what destruction it causes, and how it shoots up, dashing against the gates of hell? O you who have grown old and weak, when you were young and strong, you could not easily bear hardships of this life. How can you bear tortures of hell when you are weak and feeble? Fear Allah and be afraid of hell when there is still time for you to think and act, when you have health and strength, wealth and opportunities, power and position, and life and capabilities of doing good and bad. Do good and think of your salvation. Do not overfeed yourself and do not dissipate your energies in injurious activities and wasteful sleep. Work and work hard. Spend your wealth on the poor and the needy. Make your body bear hardships to improve your mind. Help Allah in the cause of Allah and His creatures, and He will come to your help. In His holy book, He says, Allah will help those who help Him and will make them firm in His path. Surah Muhammad 47:7.
And also, those who spend in the cause of Allah, help the poor and needy, will not only be paid twice over, but will also be nobly and handsomely rewarded by him. Surah Al-Hadid 57:11. Remember that he is not seeking your help because he is weak and in dire need of succor, and he is not asking loans of you because he is poor and needy. Do you realize why he has asked help of you, though the universe and galaxies are at his bid and command? He has created them, can destroy them, and can recreate them over and over again. He is the might and power. He solicits debt from you, though he himself has created all that which you consider as your wealth. Though prosperity, abundance, and fortunes are his to order and direct, yet he seeks your help and your wealth because he wants to test you and reward or punish you according to your capacity to obey him and to serve humanity, or according to your arrogance to disobey his commands.